grace and the peace of God, Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
In my second year of seminary, we studied the martyrs. And I was smart and took a class from a Roman Catholic father, Franciscan father, who knew these martyrs. Being one himself. And I remember being fascinated by the lengths to which people would go in order to prove their faith to God. In our lesson from Hebrews, we hear in the week there when we go out, there's the one we all know, which is, it's on the promise. I'm getting a signal from the sound guy. I hear the word about the Red Sea. Now, by faith, we can pass through the Red Sea on dry land for the Egyptians. And by faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. Joshua 5, understand? By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish for those who disagreed. Well, what should I do? What about giving and God consent and reject and David and Samuel and those other ones who were sawed in half, crushed by rocks, shut to mouth of lions, quenched raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, and spread God? If you don't really know the heart, there are all kinds of fun things, including my favorite, the style. Who, for the glory of God, climbed to the top of all things in the rock and stayed. Now that's it. Yourself in holes, or you can even begin to imagine put on shirts of wool in the middle of the desert in Jerusalem. Itching for Jesus. And what I like most about the stories of the martyrs is that they were frankly quite sincere. I kind of made fun of them, but at the same time, they really believed with all their heart that the way that one showed one's faith was Martin Luther was not himself. He felt so bad about who he was that he could get out of the little whip and flagellate himself just like so many others. He would walk on his knees. He did. All because he was afraid of the enemy's but to me. To whom is it that we are addressing these acts of faith? Is it, as God says, the God who is nearby, not far off? The one who asks the question, who can hide in secret places God has? Their suspension puts the martyrs and even us in the way. Do these acts of faith as a way to appease the angry God that resides so easily in our psyche and in our religion. I certainly know it's hard for me at times to get away from that image of God that was so ingrained in awkward fortress materials of old. That God with a kindly face that you just knew as you turned the page of your fifth grade program, that it was the God with a kindly face and a thunderbolt. Because in the end, for all we might say about how much God loves and cares for us, there was always this sense that seemed to me that God still believes in the same way that God's gave was needed to receive the sacrifice. maybe it wasn't the word this time. In these texts, we find more clearly and more powerfully than maybe we might want to, that the gift of faith has nothing to do with our own word. That our religion, in fact, doesn't even serve us well, perhaps, in the way of faith, as Jesus understood. One of my early exercises since I've come to Hawaii is to read Fisher's novel, which, by the way, the copy I have pulled around really good time. It's taken me a long time to get through it, but I've been struck by something that I think you might miss. Maybe you miss. The book starts out describing the practices of early Polynesian folk and how they understood the relationship with God. I'm so proud. Preservation. Then, of course, what do they do to appease the gods? Sacrifice who? Remember? The slaves, right? The people who go out. As a matter of fact, in that book, there were people who were born specifically to be sacrificed. That was your role. And so the rest of us got to appease God by throwing the slaves into the volcano or burying them at the four corners of the church. You look at it. Then it seems so barbaric that we have a relationship with God that we've always had to please God with our own life. But if you read the book carefully, things don't change much in the verses. And I didn't get it at first, but that's part of the genius of what Mishnah is trying to get. It's really powerful. The sacrifices still happen for the sake of faith. God is still trying, this angry God is still trying to appease. I really experienced that in Mexico. When, as I said about how Christianity came there, the church that was before, how many people were sacrificed? It is that the martyr did in our lives. The 12th chapter of Luke, Jesus as his face pointed toward Jerusalem. And in that text, it says how he pines for the fire to be lit, for the sacrifice to be done, how he awaits his own martyrdom with an almost crazy sort of relish. Bring fire to the earth, how I wish it was already kindled. I have baptism of the prince to be baptized, and what stress and honor. Stories of our faith are punctuated by the skylights and the martyrs and the hair shirts and the martyr believers. The stories of people walking up canyons on their knees as a demonstration of faith. But the most powerful demonstration of faith for us to have to be is love. Jesus what that means for us is that all the hair-shirts, styles, self-deprecation, knee-walking, and flagellation in the world will not bring us greater faith.
It has already been done.
It doesn't mean that faith for the walk in Christian life will be easy or peaceful. Jesus himself says, "You think that things are in peace? It's not peace I bring. Except father against son, son against father, mother against daughter, daughter against mother, and then how they mother in law against father in law." You finally have your solution. That faith then doesn't live itself out with some sort of light and all that long, but rather it is an upsetting, fiery experience for God's people in the world where they experience pain, suffering, want, and hunger, and control. Let us also lay aside every weight of sin. And then that wonderful phrase, that wonderful phrase, set before us. Really, you're saying the same. He is on left with out of his past is that maybe we need to get over ourselves. The thing about martyrdom is that it's about a personal spiritual journey in which I'm going to do something to make God love me and accept me and demonstrate my faith in the world so that I am in the very moment we think we have become holy, in the very moment in which our worship is destined to bring us holy, we miss it. Our worship brings praise. It is out of the story of this Jesus who sat days before his crucifixion.
waiting for the power. Waiting for the end. Which will mark how he is. The story is that beginning. The church now demonstrates its faith. So at war together that they can actually speak and take words. It's for you. When I say it, I mean you. You are living out your faith with your hands and your feet. You are living out God's dream for the world, God's prophecy for God's people. Every day. That in so many ways you can take off the hair shirt and figure out that you are not Christian. We are the point of God. We are the truth. I doubt 100 years from now, seminary students will be sitting with their academic professors, hearing about the martyrs of the latter church, who sat around in rows in hot places and listened to all the sermons. I doubt that they will hear of the glory of how you were the most holy people. Demonstrated on your acts of conviction. But I bet they will hear about how you live on God's promise. How you achieve the work for that. How you open your hands to promise the grace of God. Oh, you martyrs, your faith, your faith, and faith in God. Your faith sustains you in this place. So keep on perseverance and the true spiritual faith. I believe God indeed has lit the world on fire.